Tanya Perron, welcome back into studio.
Hi.
I know you've done this. So you had candidates night. You had
youth forum
last night as well. And you've probably done it a million times, but not everybody is able to go to all that stuff. So please go ahead and reintroduce yourself.
Okay. So, hi, my name is Tanya Wandanoru Perron. I am Turtle Clan. My parents are Lulu Phillips and Roger Perron. I'm married to Tommy Lahash. We have two sons together, two teenage sons, and I have two stepsons as well. At the end of my first term in council, so I was elected for the first time in 2018. And yeah, it's been quite the experience. So I'm not sure. Do you start with questions? Do you want me to just continue?
It's totally up to you. But I mean, let's talk about that first term on council. And what were your expectations going in? Were those met, or was it completely different than you expected?
Yeah, so before I start that, I just was asking the question because I almost feel like a little bit like a broken record right after so many times saying the same thing. So I didn't want to put anybody to sleep who might have listened to Candidates Night and seen some of the articles or the little profiles that we had to write. So yeah, first term, was it what I expected? Not quite. It was definitely a challenge. There were a lot of things that came up that I don't think have come up in past terms all in one term.
Mm-hmm.
So starting off, it was quite a learning curve. I didn't expect to have to learn as much as I had to learn in those first 6 months. And even still now learning, still learning at this time. So the orientation was pretty intensive, almost like cramming a couple of years of law school and political science into those first few months. So we really only got to start real work probably about 6 months into the term. And then we were only able to do about another year and a half of real work before we got into COVID. And then COVID threw a monkey wrench and shifted everything over. And so in all honesty, I don't feel like I had that chance to get that real political experience. I really feel like I just scratched the surface of the politics, not necessarily the internal, but the external, because there's those two sides, right, to what we do. So we deal with the internal, the community, asset management, taking care of the community. And then we have the external, which is dealing with the external governments. And I only got a glimpse of that. Wasn't too positive of a glimpse. But that didn't discourage me. In fact, it's only made me more determined to come back and to continue on that work, particularly with the external work.
Those external files, I imagine, probably extremely challenging. I mean, and especially in the pandemic.
Yeah.
Right. In dealing with ministers or their underlings, people in their offices over video rather than seeing them face to face.
Yeah. And at the beginning of the pandemic, because everybody was scrambling to deal with the situation, there was a lot of reassignments. Right. So even though there would be reps from the ministries that you would normally deal with, they were maybe no longer in that file because they had to be moved. Everything was shifted around. And so there was quite a lengthy period of time that there was nothing happening, even though you would be able to have those discussions.
The internal workings of the MCK, you talked about external, internally.
Yep.
Did it meet your expectations? Was it different? You know, everybody goes in when they're running for an elected council the first time with grandiose ideas.
Yes. So it's great to go in there with a vision and to, you know, have an idea of what you want to work on and what you would like to move forward. To be able to do that, though, is not as easy, I think, as some believe, and even myself. So I won't deny that even myself had some ideas what I want to do. This is by the end of the first term. I'm going to get this done. And you realize that, you know, you're not only working on one file, you're working in a number of portfolios. You have a number, some of those have a number of files and projects in them. So you're constantly in meetings, which leaves little time to do, you know, if you actually have to do the reading and some writing, there's a lot of after hours work that have to be put into it to really move things. You also need everybody around you to be able to put in the time and the effort. So you need resources. And unfortunately, you know, we have a lot of people that work and for one reason or another have to take a leave of absence. And the minute one spot becomes vacant, it affects the work you're doing. And it's, you know, nobody's fault. We're human. Things happen. So that slows things down. It definitely wasn't what I expected along those lines. I had really hoped to move things a lot quicker. And despite all of the efforts that myself and everybody else that I work with have made, you hit roadblocks. And I know a lot of people refer to things to as red tape. It's not so much red tape. You know, when you're doing all of your checks and balances, your due diligence, you're making sure you're getting it right. I don't really consider that red tape. I consider it good governance. You want to make sure to get it right the first time so that you don't have to deal with, you know, problems that arise when you've just rushed to the finish line.
Sounds like the lawyer in you.
Oh yeah, that is the lawyer in me, but it's a principle that, you know, I live by and I work by it. So, it met my expectations to a certain level, but on another level, it was a little bit of a, it was not a culture shock, but a surprise, right? Of how things really work and how you really need to move things or do things to move things.
Are your reasons for running 3 years later the same as they were back in 2018?
So once again, yes and no. So the files that I have right now, I would like to continue the work on them. There's so much that's still left to do in justice, and we've been working every week. We're meeting to complete all of those pieces that have to be put into place. I would really like to see that, you know, come to fruition. I have some files that I started working on with that are more external, like getting involved in that, and I found that I've really enjoyed those, and so I'm looking at maybe shifting a little bit towards the external files if I'm reelected. So it's a little bit of a change, because when I came in 2018, I was focused on a lot of the internal, but I realize as well that there's a lot of external work that has to be done just to get the internal moving. And it's not because we need approvals from Canada or Quebec. It's because of, you know, you have funding, or, you know, we always talk on a nation to nation basis. We have to coexist. So you still have to talk, even though, you know, you have your jurisdiction, they have their jurisdiction. So there has to be all of the time that dialogue and communication. And I would like to be more involved in that part.
Isn't that like having the Russian embassy in Washington during the Cold War and vice versa in Moscow?
I suppose.
What are some of the issues, Tanya, that you feel need really to be dealt with immediately in the community?
So I guess depending on who you ask, everybody has their own issues that are important to them, right? And the one thing we've been hearing a lot about, and definitely would be, in my opinion, something that the new council has to prioritize coming in the beginning of July, is definitely the housing. We know there's a lack of housing. There's a lack of programs for housing, whatever it may be. So definitely need to work on that. That's a considerably large issue, that affects everybody across the board, you know, from elders to the youth. We had that question from in the youth forum yesterday, you know, about there was concerns about housing. You know, how do you provide affordable housing for young people? How do you ensure that they'll be able to have their first home and maintain it? You know, things like that. So absolutely going to have to be a priority, housing. I think after this pandemic, we definitely have to deal with issues around mental health. And not only on account of this pandemic, but with the discovery, you know, across Canada of the remains of the residential school children. It's bringing back up a lot of deep-rooted, you know, feelings of either anger or I can't even imagine what those feelings are. And I'm not even going to try because, you know, I can't even begin to. I'm not I don't have those experiences, and I only try to understand, you know, from everybody else. But with all of that combined, mental health is a big issue, and I think we'll have to figure out ways, you know, to address it more appropriately as a community.
I want to get back to housing for a second, because this is something that sort of comes up from the community a lot, is, you know, what's happening with the scandal? I know that happened, you were on council less than a year when the story broke about the housing scandal. It was the summer of 2019, mm-hmm. beginning of June 2019. And as a lawyer, what's taking the prosecution so long to move forward now? If maybe you can explain to people why it's taking such a long time now that the file's been completely handed over to the prosecution.
So that's a good question. And of course, without having spoken to the prosecutor myself directly, because, you know, our legal would be responsible yeah. for that, I can only make a guesstimate or a calculated guess. Considering the extent of the investigation, the information that had to go into it, the expertise that probably was required or is still required just to be able to understand what transpired and who may have been responsible, it would take a considerable amount of time to do that. There may have been some pieces missing, and the prosecutor would want to ensure that they had everything that they needed to formally lay a charge and to have a chance at being successful. They're not going to lay charges on evidence that is, you know, I don't want to say flimsy, but lacking, if they're lacking any pieces of the evidence, right? They have to prove things beyond a reasonable doubt. And so to ensure that that they have at least that what they call prima facie, the start of that evidence, it's possible that there was additional pieces that were missing. So as I said, I can only surmise. Mm-hmm. It has taken a while. We don't obviously. I mean, the prosecutor doesn't call us every week or every month and tell us this is what's happening. So really, I'm not quite sure where his investigation into it and determination of whether or not to file charges, where he's at with that.
Okay. Let's get back to you personally. Make your pitch. Why should people vote for you again?
So, once again, I feel like I'm repeating myself, but I'll pretty much say what I said on Candidates Night, because that is why I feel that it's important you know, for people to vote for me in terms of leadership qualities. I've always lived my life with, you know, by principles of integrity, fairness, and honesty. You know, I have a lot of respect for people and their opinions, and I recognize strengths in everybody, and I like to draw from those different strengths in order to to build the relationships and to do the work that we have to do. I really would like to also see the governance work completed. I've been involved in the governance project that Gerald and Jessica have been on the radio talking about over the last quite a couple of months. And that's really another place where my heart is I mentioned to you earlier, good governance. I really would like to see that not only completed, but carried out. Mm-hmm. So follow through on it. So given the opportunity, you know, to be back in council, I would definitely look at, I'd make that commitment to have the follow through. One of the other things that I really feel that I could, you know, that I provide as a... I don't want to say as an advantage, but that I think is a positive in terms of leadership is communication. I mentioned on Wednesday night, I think it was, mm-hmm. that, you know, we've forgotten how to talk to each other, and a lot of things are like on Facebook, right? And so I think that we need to talk more to each other, and so many misunderstandings and misinformation could, you know, quickly be resolved and have better, once again, relationships with each other if we just talked. And to stop, for us to just stop using certain terminology that's, divides us. So one of my things that I would like to see happening if I'm reelected is trying to bridge those divisions and having better working relationships with the community, with the organization or organizations, just with everybody all around. Because as I mentioned, we can't move forward without acting as a collective. We're all responsible for parts of moving forward. We all have our own roles and responsibilities to fulfill. And so I think that the traits that I carry just naturally, I think, are very conducive to that.
You know, you've talked right up to that 16 minutes that you
get. My gosh, I talk a lot.
We've covered so much. Appreciate you coming in. Nyawa Goa to you, and we'll certainly be watching tomorrow and again next Saturday.
Yep.
But we'll only get the results from tomorrow next Saturday when they're all tabulated together.
That's right.
It's a special advance poll. Tanya Perron, thank you very much. Nyawa Goa to you for coming in today.
So thank you for having me. Good luck to everyone.